Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. You're going to be joined very shortly by Titans tight end Anthony Firkser, so looking forward to that. Obviously, Joe, a huge battle coming up on Sunday between the Titans and the Colts. Both teams 7-3, the AFC South, first place on the line. It's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to it.
Game of the year.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's got to be, right?
Absolutely.
It seems like we've said that each of the last 3 weeks.
We
for the
say
Titans,
that a
but,
lot.
But, hey, I think in each of the last 3 weeks, that's been the case.
The stakes are supposed to get higher, and they continue to do that.
Absolutely. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Titans tight end Anthony Firkser here to the program on Robbie and Rex Road. Anthony, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, of course. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. First off, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Obviously, a big battle coming up this weekend against the Colts. You've seen them recently. What are you expecting the intensity level to look like in this game on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be an intense match for sure. I mean, we've been battling the last couple of years, and after them beating us at home, I mean, we know we're going to have to give it all when we go up there on Sunday.
Anthony, we've been talking about the idea of motivation. Obviously it gets brought up whenever you guys play the Colts that they've had a lot more success over the years in the series, which, of course, for most of the guys on this roster, you've only been around for a little bit of that. But the last game, the stakes, when you look at this game, how much is it talked about in the building, stuff like that, that might give you an extra edge? Or is it purely focus on your job and what you have to do?
Yeah, I mean, we try to focus week to week and not get too wrapped up in all that, like all that stuff kind of in the past and all that. So, but I mean, no, we know this is a big game for the division and for the playoff run. So, I mean, we're taking this very serious, and yeah, we know this is gonna mean a lot coming down the stretch.
Anthony, we talk a lot on here on the show about the chemistry that you and Ryan Tannehill seem to have found right from the jump when he came in. How are you guys able to build that chemistry so quickly?
I think a lot of it started back when we were kind of both in like the backup role when Marcus was starting and Delaney was starting. We kind of spent a lot of time with the twos, whether it was preseason games or during camp. That first year he was here. And, yeah, I think once he got bumped up and Delaney got banged up and couldn't go anymore, I mean, when I kind of had to fill that role, I think we built a lot of trust over the preseason and camp just with practice reps. And, it just kind of built from there.
So, Anthony, interesting that, you know, this team, this offense, has not had your top three receivers. I think two complete games that you guys have had with A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries. It looks like Humphries is back. Of course, he wasn't in the first meeting. As an offense, what does that do when you have everyone available for Ryan to throw to? What do you think the difference is when he's back in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely puts a lot more stress on the defense. I mean, they can't key one of the top guys, and they have to worry about all three and the tight end as well. But, guys have done a great job in the receiving room having to step up, whether it was Khalif or Batson. We're ready to go this week and excited to have Adam back.
Titans tight end Anthony Firkser on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Anthony, a lot of people don't know, you grew up playing basketball and hockey. Didn't really play football until your sophomore year of high school, if I'm not mistaken. Which one of those did you enjoy the most, basketball or hockey?
I think it was basketball. Yeah, basketball is probably my favorite, kind of what I was aiming for coming out, going into college. But, yeah, it's ended up having some better opportunities with football.
So was there any talk of playing some hoops at Harvard too?
When I first got there, I was trying to do both, but it just ended up being too much with school and the football commitment. So, yeah, it just ended up sticking with football.
So, Anthony, I went back and watched, and I know it's been replayed a million times on the internet, the Derrick Henry touchdown run to beat Baltimore. It was interesting watching that play. Obviously, a lot of great blocks up front there, you know, and when you have guys like Quessenberry and Brewer who are filling in and they get blocks like that, that's a big deal. But I noticed you and Khalif Raymond both on that play with key blocks downfield, not necessarily – you know, you don't think of like Khalif Raymond as, you know, crushing blocks downfield, but you guys occupied your guys and had a big hand in that. Did you guys get props like in the film room? Like, what's the, we all watch this stuff. Like, is there at some point someone pointing out all these blocks in the building and saying, hey, good job to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the position coaches are always looking at that. Cause, I mean, they're dialed in and everything we're doing out there. But, yeah, the coordinator as well. I mean, we talk about all the time that it takes all 11 guys to create a great run like that. And everyone just had to do their job. And Derek did a great job. The line did a great job moving line of scrimmage. And, yeah, so we definitely got some respect for being involved in that as well.
Titans tight end
on the back end.
Sorry about that. Titans tight end Anthony Firkser on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Anthony, what's it like from a preparation standpoint this week going up against the Colts? Obviously, you've seen them so recently. I would imagine the game prep from a couple weeks ago probably still relatively fresh in your mind.
Yeah, no, that definitely helps. That, yeah, we're kind of 2 weeks ago, we're doing the same type of game plan and everything. So, yeah, I mean, just having all the past film that we've played them on and knowing their play styles and knowing their tendencies. So we're just taking advantage of that and trying to keep doing what we can.
I know this isn't your area of focus, but when a guy like DeForest Buckner, who is so important to them, you know, potentially is not going to be there Sunday, like, does that cause a change in plan, or do you more look at it like, look, this is what they do. Whoever's in there, this is what they do. This is what we do.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, they got, I mean, we know they're a tough defense all around. They got a bunch of, I mean, guys who will step up. So, yeah, we know that, yeah, we're taking that same game plan, and we know it's going to be a physical match every down. So, yeah, we're not taking anything for granted.
Anthony, it's been pretty interesting from our standpoint to watch Arthur Smith kind of do his thing and keep defenses off balance with play calling. What's it like from your vantage point to watch Arthur Smith operate and just the different things he's able to dial up and come up with to attack the defense?
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job just, yeah, kind of just spreading the ball around, making sure everyone gets involved and making sure defenses can't key one guy or one play that we're doing, and always making sure we're switching stuff up and trying to scheme up different plays, whether based on their defense. So, I mean, yeah, I've seen him. It's great having him as a position coach, but, yeah, seeing him progress his offense.
Now, Anthony, speaking of Arthur Smith, last two games, you guys have come right out as an offense, gone right down the field, scored touchdowns. How much of that is scripted stuff that, you know, you kind of think is definitely going to work early against what this team likes to do?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you definitely kind of scheme up some type of players and not sure exactly what's going to work. But, yeah, I mean, if everyone executes their job on that play, I mean, we're expecting every play to score a touchdown. So that's kind of the goal there.
Titans tight end Anthony Firkser on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. From your vantage point, watching Ryan Tannehill and, like, the toughness that he shows, whether it's standing in there in the pocket and delivering a throw when traffic's around him, or, look, we've seen him take off and run and not afraid to lower his shoulder either. What's it like when your quarterback is playing with that kind of toughness? What does that do for the rest of the guys on offense?
Yeah, no, that's great to see your leader have that type of toughness, like you said, and be able to step up and, I mean, yeah, kind of take hits like he does and get up and yeah, no, it just gives you kind of, yeah, it kind of gives you, fires you up to be out there and protect him at all costs and kind of just build that team camaraderie.
So, Anthony, as we look to Sunday, what needs to, other than the scoreboard needs to be different, but what needs to get better? What can you tell us about, you know, maybe things you guys are focusing on to be better at in this matchup than the first time around?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we just got to focus on the details, every play, offense, defense, special teams, and, I mean, know that it's going to be a four-quarter game and both of us are not going to go anywhere. It's going to be a physical matchup, so, yeah, we're expecting a tough one.
I mean, we're making it out like, you know, the winner of this game is probably going to win this division. I know you guys have got to look at this like one-week seasons, but Is that something, you know, that is worth mentioning in your building, or do you not try to get into that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we try to stay on that one week mindset, but yeah, we know down the stretch and these last couple games that all these games are basically playoff games to get to that, postseason. So, every game is just as important as the next.
Titans tight end Anthony Firkser has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. Anthony, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and good luck on Sunday.
Of course. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Titans tight end Anthony Firkser joining us here on Robbie and Rexrode. And it is interesting how we can, come up with these, hey, this is going to be the winner of the AFC South. But I'm sure there's a little bit of talk of that going on in the Titans building, but you can't really afford to think that way, because if you're the Titans and you win this game against the Colts and then you come out and lay three eggs in a row, really doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember watching Ryan Succop somehow kick a big block of ice over those uprights in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then the next week they're in balmy Jacksonville against the awful Jaguars, and it all goes up in smoke. So that is this league.
There's no question about it. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Anthony Firkser had to say there. And also, how did the Titans sustain some success offensively against this Colts defense that's been so good all season long? That's coming up next. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign will launch on Monday, October 19th, and run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the matchup between Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two all-time great quarterbacks. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You think it's too early for me to call Patrick Mahomes an all-time great quarterback? I don't. Watch that dude play. It's pretty good.
That's a good question, though. Cause
I know he's only been in the league like 3 years, but.
Yeah, so this is his third year as a starter, right?
Yeah.
It's early.
He's early.
He's certainly going to be.
They are all-time great seasons. He's had three most impressive seasons you could ever say. So, yeah. I mean. I guess as a whole, it might be a little premature, but the seasons have been all-time great.
Yeah. Like if he had, a season, a career-ending injury, knock on wood, that doesn't happen, he would be remembered as a guy who could have been an all-time great, but had an all-time great, like you said, briefed. I mean, he won a Super Bowl. He could have been MVP last year, but,
he was MVP the first year as a starter.
Right.
Probably going to win it this year.
Not default, but he is absolutely going to enter LeBron territory here.
Oh, yeah.
As the, he's always there, but who else has never gotten a vote?
He's going to get
Wilson,
robbed.
Drew Brees,
He's going to get robbed.
He'll probably get robbed some, yeah.
Why do we think that happens? Like, that's happened with LeBron a few times of, all right, this guy's pretty obviously the best player in the league, and it's obvious what his value is when you take him off teams and how they just fall apart. But let's find somebody else to give this MVP award to.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Coach of the Year thing. Like Urban Meyer never won, Big Ten Coach of the Year, right? Because he's just, well, you're supposed to go 12-0, Urban. We're going to give it to, P.J. Fleck surprised everyone with 7 wins at Minnesota.
Row the boat, baby.
Yeah.
Row the boat.
Ski you ma, P.J. Fleck.
Around this year, by the way.
Yeah, not great. And Rashad Bateman opted back out. But, I think a lot of it is, if you exceed expectations, people are drawn to that.
Yeah.
It's like a most improved award, more so than it is anything else.
It's just most surprising.
Most surprising, improved,
Right.
Value has been taken out of that.
LeBron's so let me ask you this. I'm not saying he's going to win, but Derrick Henry, another big moment on Sunday. The numbers are going to – they're going to end up being pretty good if he stays healthy. He'll be around 1,600, 1,700 yards probably. Does he creep back up into MVP conversation? Look, he's probably not going to win. He's not a quarterback. But does he at least get in the conversation?
What he would need would, one, he would need, like, Jags, Lions, some of those games to have, like, three big runs and get, like, 200-plus in those games. And he would need to end up real close to 2,000, and the Titans would need to not lose much more. And if that's the case, if he has ridiculous numbers and the Titans are, like, 12-4 kind of team, then I think he would be, at least in the conversation.
Right, like I don't think there's any way at this point he's going to overcome Mahomes or a quarterback like that and actually win the award. But like finding his way back into the conversation, like we talked the other day about Roethlisberger, about how like right now you're not hearing a whole lot about Roethlisberger as MVP, even though they're 10-0. His numbers are pretty good. I think he's got 24 touchdowns and 5 picks and like 2,500 yards passing. But you don't hear a whole lot about it. I imagine if the season keeps going the way it's going right now for the Steelers, and not necessarily that they go undefeated, but if they go 14-2, 15-1, you'll probably hear some more chatter about MVP for Roethlisberger down the stretch. I feel like this is Derrick Henry's – this is his time of year. This is when he gets rolling. This is when the yardage late in fourth quarters, when it's really hard to tackle that guy anyway, but now you factor in that in some situations, temperature going to be a little bit colder, a little bit more unpleasant to tackle Derrick Henry. Maybe he finds his way back in the conversation.
Yeah, and those guys could falter. You know, yeah. I mean, you would need that too. You'd need, you know, the Chiefs to lose a game they shouldn't lose, and Mahomes throw a couple picks or whatever it is. I mean, if they have a little bit of a stumble and he just goes nuts, then hey, it's still it's funny. I mean, it's just like anything in any season. You talk about MVP all year long. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we were talking about Russell Wilson for MVP after like week two,
yeah,
which is obviously premature.
He's going to get some votes this year.
Yeah, it's what you do. You know, it's changed a lot since then. It still has a chance to change quite a bit from now. But yeah, Mahomes is like your default. Like, just give it to Mahomes, unless someone else really comes up and grabs it.
Do y'all think we ever get back to a point where like it's not quarterback dominated in the MVP race? Like it's just so many quarterbacks now, and that's the way the NFL is. And we hear all the time about maybe the NFL being cyclical, which I'm not sure I buy. Like, I think quarterback play just is what it is right now, and you're going to see this type of quarterback play for a long time. Is there ever going to be a point where the MVP is not just a default quarterback again?
Nah, I mean, it'll just be very rare here and there. I don't think we'll go back to where it used to be a lot of running backs. You know, I don't. It is cyclical, but I don't see it. I mean, look, I see a lot of, because of the way things are going, a lot of really top players who would have been running backs are picking other positions now because of the shelf life of the position, because it's so devalued. And again, Derrick Henry just signed a long-term deal basically for the same money that Chris Johnson got a decade earlier.
Which
every other position has massive inflation, right? So there's – and I've heard coaches talk about this. You know, there are a lot more kids who are like, you know what, I want to play linebacker. I mean, Derrick Henry, Nick Saban, for all of his genius – you know, really liked the idea of Derrick Henry at linebacker. I mean, how much would that suck if we didn't get Derrick Henry running the ball? Just a general football fan, if you just had to watch him I'm sure he'd be a good linebacker, but, like, I want to see the great players running the football.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see more and more of that type of stuff. So that makes it even less likely that you'd have a running back. I mean, maybe a defensive player here and there. I'd love to see that more often. I mean, I've voted for – in fact, I think I voted for – Ndamukong Suh, I think I gave him my number one Heisman vote when he was a senior at Nebraska. I was like, that dude is the best player in college football. I don't care. You know, people don't look at that enough. I'd love to see an Aaron Donald win an MVP if he has, you know, if he plays like this and then they have a huge season and he's just dominant. Why can't he be MVP? But it's the quarterback domination isn't ending anytime soon.
That's the worst part about it, is that like someone like Aaron Donald, who you could easily say is the best player in football, the most game-changing player in football, I think you take him off the Rams, they're worse than the Niners right now. Lose a lot of those games. But it takes a year in which he has to break NFL records to be able to get an NFL MVP. And someone who obviously, like a quarterback who doesn't have to be have the best season that his position's ever seen, can win one, and we've seen that several times. It's like the Heisman. I mean, it's essentially become the Heisman, where it's a quarterback award.
Or even a guy like Kamara in New Orleans, who does everything for that team. He's nowhere to be found in the MVP conversation right
8-2
now.
8-2, he leads the team in catches and is arguably the greatest offensive threat in the NFC right now, one of, and it's not even considered. They're the best team in the NFC record-wise, and he is getting no talk about it whatsoever, and he is the entire offense.
I mean, if you go through the years, so you get Alan Page, and they used to do it by conference, so he was NFC MVP in 71. Alan Page, Purple People Eaters with the Vikings. And then you've got LT, you know, got one in 86. And, I mean, my gosh, LT probably should have won more than that, right? The most amazing MVP thing, and I remember this was a strike-shortened season, they won the Super Bowl, but, like, I still cannot believe that Mark Moseley of the Redskins, the kicker, won the MVP in 1982. What the heck?
Let's bring that back. I want more kicker MVPs. Yeah,
no.
Steven Gostkowski, team MVP for the Titans this year.
Oh, boy.
4-game winners.
Yeah, he won them some games. If those are those game winners, they are not in this position.
That's right.
Give him his props.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, Sue went to Utah, not Nebraska. No, he definitely went to Nebraska.
What? Who said this?
There's no name. But he went to Nebraska.
I'll give you it's Black Friday and you've got tryptophan coursing through your system break on that one. He definitely went to Nebraska. And if anybody remembers the Big 12 title game, Sue against Texas, remember that? This is when Texas was still great. I mean, I don't think I've ever
seen a player. All those years
ago. Yeah. Yes. It was about, a decade ago, right,
yeah.
Or so? I don't know. I can remember a player just destroying a game the way he did against Texas. Whew. Utah.
Maybe he's getting confused with Alex Smith.
Maybe.
Similar players.
Very similar. Yeah. Very, very similar.
Is that when they played defense in the Big 12? Is that what made him so great in the Big 12? Because they actually played defense?
I think that was before it got real bad in that league.
Yeah.
You know? The 2010s have not been kind to Big 12 defenses.
Yeah, they definitely have not.
And on into the 2020s.
Yes. Right on into the 2020s. Well, I don't know how we got down that rabbit hole that I led us down there. I was going to talk about the Titans and the Colts, and we ended up talking about NFL MVPs, but that's fine.
That's okay.
Sometimes here on the show.
Got to be nimble.
We talked about it a little bit a couple segments ago of how dominant the Colts have been defensively in the second half in terms of making adjustments the last couple of weeks and shutting down the Titans, shutting down the Packers in the second half. How do the Titans kind of hang in this game and get to a position in the second half where they could still, number one, have their full playbook available to them, but number two, continue to move the ball against this Colts defense?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that I think Humphreys is a big key there. I mean, on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, whatever, 3rd and 7, I think Tannehill and Humphreys have a really special connection. Humphreys is so hard to deal with off the line. He's special off the line. And so that helps. Mykole Pruitt helps if he's able to play. Roger Saffold. Maybe Saffold. I'm trying to think. So Saffold hurt his shoulder against the Bears, and then he hurt his ankle against the Colts. So he's banged up dude even playing in that game. So, you know, maybe he's healthier too on the field than he was in that game. So they found some good stuff in the second half against the Ravens, and it starts with Tannehill playing like that. Tannehill plays like that. I mean, they're gonna move the ball and score some points in this game. You know, they've also got to – the defense has got to help the offense by not letting the Colts have 8-minute touchdown drives.
I want to pass along some breaking news, and it's not really all that breaking news, from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. There's been no change in the status of the Ravens-Steelers game as of this morning, and the league continues to monitor. The NFL is trying to determine whether the game is medically safe after 5 straight days of positive tests in Baltimore and whether that could subside over the weekend. But, Joe, I mean – if the Ravens can't get in their facility until Monday, how in the world are you going to play this game on Sunday?
Well, yeah, I guess from the NFL perspective, like we've talked forfeit, which, again, like they don't want to do. But, I mean, you could make a case here because of where we are in the season and because of what happened with this strength coach just deciding, I don't give a crap about any of this COVID stuff. But then you could also say, well, Ravens, sorry you're not in your facility. Sorry you're missing all these guys. Go out there and play the Steelers.
Yep.
Good luck. You know? I mean, and then that way the NFL has its inventory.
Yeah.
It's got its television inventory. It's got its national game and all the advertising that goes with it. So I've kind of been since yesterday like, oh, that's off. But Maybe not.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb text in, how about this show for MVP? Do we belong in the MVP conversation?
I think definitely. You know, we've just got
us or Mahomes.
We got to finish strong. You know, you got to have a good record at the end of the year. Got to play within yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's no I in team.
Execute better.
Well, if we were all quarterbacks, then we'd be number one on the list.
That's true.
So that's the whole point. If we were all quarterbacks, I mean, then it's
I play a little quarterback
the show's
back
number
in
one.
Day.
Yeah.
Ran the wing tee.
Oh, well, then we have
not a whole lot of passing numbers in the wing tee offense. Let me tell you, that would not be MVP.
Robbie threw five passes.
Five passes in the entire season. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The same texter that said that Sue went to Utah says, "My bad, they are both red," which I think hits on an interesting point. There are way too many like red jerseys in college football. Let's diversify the color scheme a little bit. So it makes Tennessee, with all their faults, so great. You know that it's Tennessee on the field in that orange and white.
I've never
a lot of red jerseys.
I've never thought of this. This could be an MVP segment that you just brought that up. We got to play better. We got to coach better. We got to talk better. That's an interesting thought. I'm trying to think of all the red. I think of Ohio State. I think of Rutgers.
I mean, even tossing in like
Nebraska, Utah,
offshoots of red like crimson. Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Alabama.
Georgia, Indiana, Alabama,
Georgia,
Youngstown State,
USC. There's all sorts of reddish stuff going on
everywhere. You count USC in this?
It's red. It's an offshoot of red.
Yeah.
It's maroon, right?
Okay.
Are you colorblind? Maroon? USC?
What is it? USC? Yeah,
it's pretty red. Oh, that's red. That's like
red
that's
and yellow.
Solid red.
Yeah.
Am I colorblind? Maybe we've discovered something on this show.
The Washington football team, I feel like, is more maroon than the USC. If we have a maroon scale here, USC is definitely red.
All right, let me see what their official colors are now. This is really...
I'm going to the official terminology.
And then
Cardinal,
have...
Cardinal and gold.
Oh, so, speaking of Cardinal, Stanford.
Why did I think they were maroon?
Stanford, yeah.
Yep.
All sorts of red. We've discovered there's too much red in college football.
There is a lot of red. There's not a lot of orange. Not a lot of green.
Be like the TCU Horned Frogs. We're a little purple.
Wyoming?
Yeah, come on.
Get crazy. Brown and yellow, you basically look like you're representing UPS. I mean, the uniqueness of that one also, second to none.
Let's get this thing figured out a little bit better.
I do love the purple. Like the Vikings. I mean, I love those uniforms.
Yeah.
There should be more purple.
That hurts me to say, but yeah.
There's a reason they haven't changed.
Yeah, exactly. When we come back, a huge
weekend. What a segment. MVP
up.
Segment.
Exactly. It's what we do here. Huge weekend coming up in college football, including an interesting matchup in the Iron Bowl with – no head coach on the sideline for Alabama. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. They're nursing their post-Thanksgiving hangovers from both food and maybe other things today quite well. I know we are. Doing good. You feeling better, Joe?
Heartburn
subsiding?
I think the second Pepsi did a nice trick this morning.
Okay.
It's feeling a little better.
Right.
The buffalo chicken dip had some kick to it. Props to Jerry Stackhouse. We'll be there watching your team tonight, Jerry. But Texas Pete hot sauce.
I can't believe
good stuff, baby.
That Jerry Stackhouse influenced like your culinary decisions. It's
hey,
one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
And it was Twitter. So this is an example of Twitter being a positive force in our world. Jerry Stackhouse tweeted that that Texas Pete is better hot sauce than Frank's. I tried it, and
he's
it's
right. Maybe he's right.
I mean, two peps at heartburn, but people were loving the buffalo chicken dip.
Okay,
the kids were going nuts on that stuff. So it was a big winner on Thanksgiving. First time. Thank you, Jerry.
Good basketball coach and hot sauce coach.
That's right.
A connoisseur
That's
of
right.
hot sauce, Jerry Stackhouse. It's a very impressive resume.
Lots of different areas of expertise. You know a guy that's got a big-time area of expertise in football? It's Nick Saban. He's not going to be on the sideline this weekend for the Iron Bowl, the 85th playing of the Iron Bowl, which, by the way, you can catch here at 2:30 tomorrow on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking forward to that game. But no Nick Saban on the sideline. Now, we thought we might see this earlier in the season in the Georgia game. Nick Saban tested positive and then I guess responded with three consecutive negative tests in a row after that, so it was deemed to be a false positive. There's no false positive this time. He's experiencing mild symptoms. He will not be coaching on Saturday. Joe, what sort of an impact, if any, do you think that has on this game for Alabama against Auburn?
This is a real positive for Nick Saban. Probably not a lot. I mean, they're gonna thump them, aren't they?
Yeah.
After watching Auburn should have lost to Tennessee. They're just
JG.
Like that Auburn defense. Yeah, well, but that that Auburn defense against Alabama's offense. Ooh, it's not gonna be pretty. I don't care. Nick Saban can, he can be sitting at home, you know, relaxing, little Debbie snack cake, hopefully feeling fine, and his team's gonna win by a lot. Now I know that it's a rivalry. You throw the records out. It's the Iron Bowl, but I can't see Auburn really hanging in this game.
So. We've seen some weird things happen in the Iron Bowl, man.
No, we have.
Now, that it typically happens at Auburn, and that's not going to be the case this year. And also, I mean, the environment obviously not going to be the same either. But if this game was at Auburn, I would leave open the possibility for some shenanigans going on out there. But at Alabama, it's been pretty one-sided in Tuscaloosa lately for the Tide.
Yeah, and they're just, I mean, that offense is just really playing at a high level.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wayne from Spring Hill text in, is Butch Jones filling in this game? Does Butch Jones get elevated? Is it like a practice squad? Does he get pulled up to an actual coaching position in this game?
As much as I've got a lot of, we could tell Butch Jones jokes all day, but in all seriousness, Butch Jones can't do anything different because his job as an analyst means you can't coach players.
Yeah.
You can't recruit. You can't actually coach at all. You basically can just – I mean, you can talk to players, and you can do things during the week to help prepare and film some of that stuff, but, like, he can't be, like, switched to a full-time coach. So, no.
Is that Jones the official title, analyst?
It is.
I prefer intern.
Yes, I know you prefer intern. Yes. Intern is much better to think about dry cleaning and all that stuff, lighting Nick's cigars.
What do we think Butch Jones is analyzing? I think there's a lot of deep thought.
Honestly,
going on.
I mean, I'm sure that's out there because they usually do. They usually do one side or the other, and so I don't know. I don't know. I'll find this.
He's probably
out.
Just the slogan coordinator.
Yeah,
he was really good at that at Tennessee. So he's probably coordinating some awesome slogans to use during practice, like a motivator.
Analyzing the pros and cons of building a brick mailbox or just a normal mailbox.
He's all. I'm going to be serious about Butch. As much the jokes are good,
you?
They're always good. He's an offensive analyst, so
really
he works with the.
So
offense.
Is it? Do we give Butch Jones the credit that the offense for Alabama is just incredible right now? Like Butch Jones is scheming some stuff up, throwing them to Sark.
I mean, Butch Jones has been a successful head coach in college football.
I know.
Is I mean. Has
defined Butch, successful.
Well, I mean, Butch Jones has had multiple 9-win seasons at Tennessee.
Right now, I'd take it.
Yeah. I mean, like Butch Jones compared to what's going on now. I'm not saying that that if I were a Tennessee fan, I would say, okay, swap me back Butch for Jeremy.
No.
I'm not saying that. But I'm just trying. Look, it's a holiday weekend, and, you know, let's give Butch Jones a little bit of credit, right?
Okay.
A little bit.
That's really kind of you.
Joe's already
that
in Christmas
is actually
spirit.
The nicest. Yeah, that's the nicest thing we've anybody in the state of Tennessee in sports talk radio has been towards Butch Jones.
It might
in a long time.
It might be. Yeah, I might be going overboard.
Way
I'm
to go,
sorry.
Joe. We appreciate your positivity.
Let's keep ripping him. He deserves ripping when he like that first year when he goes.
He
back
lit the
to
cigar.
Lights the cigar. That's so bad.
That was the last time that I've been angry enough to fight someone.
Because what you're doing there is, and that's where. I mean, Butch, you know, look, he can be kind of a tool, let's be honest. I mean,
yeah, I'd say so.
Like, those are all guys that you recruited to that program, you know?
You're over there lighting a cigar like you did anything.
Yeah. But when they get mopped off the field, and then you are going to, like, act like you had some hand in it.
I mean, I guess technically he did have a hand in it because he made that place a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
So when he was able to go to Alabama, they made it a lot easier than it already was going to be.
He actually was a heavy contributor. That's
so
a good
that
point.
Was the only win I think he's contributed to Alabama was leaving a place a mess and absolutely ruining it from the inside, infiltrating it, and then joining
that's a great point.
Another coaching staff as an unpaid intern and getting to reap the benefits of beating that really bad team he created. That's
you know what's point. Wild is – he was also offensive analyst for a loss at home to Tennessee, but the guy he recruited to Tennessee decided to call his own number at the goal line last year.
Mm, yeah.
See, it's him benefiting from his awful recruiting decisions.
Yeah.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, says a teaspoon of baking soda and a half a cup of water, and you will stop heartburn instantly.
Teaspoon of baking soda, half cup of water. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I go with the heart, like, you know, I go with like Pepcid Super, you know, or whatever. I know that there's heavier stuff than that, like Prilosec. I'm not quite there yet. But teaspoon of baking soda. Okay. All right. Well, this reminds me. Well, thank you for that recipe. Anybody out there having hiccups during the holiday weekend, take a big spoonful of mustard
yeah.
and gulp it down.
Mustard, the cure-all.
Tell me if it yeah. works.
The cure-all, apparently. We had that discussion a few weeks back, Elijah. Apparently mustard is like some magic elixir that
well,
cures
especially,
a lot of ailments.
Especially if you don't – like some people like mustard a lot. I like it. But like,
yeah, it's fine.
But, you know, I don't want to eat gobs of it. If you really dislike mustard,
the look on Elijah's face right now.
Yeah, I think it might work for Elijah because if you really dislike it, then it has a better chance of working for you.
I think I'll just keep the hiccups. I mean, you can keep yeah. your mustard. I'll keep the hiccups.
That's
I like
fine.
It.
When we come back, it's that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports over the weekend. It could be the Titans. It could be Vanderbilt. I would say it could be the Vols, but it really can't be this weekend. Take it any direction you want to take it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means. Shoot your shot. It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Ryan Porth, not here today, but that doesn't mean that Ryan Porth doesn't have some called shots for us. Now, you know, Porth's gotten a little out of control the last few weeks. I think last week he had like 9 called shots. He's maybe even gone into double digits on one occasion, and that's a little much. I mean, you've got to stick to a certain number. I'm not saying it's got to be 1, but we've got to be a little bit more controlled about this. I believe Ryan Porth has accomplished that this week, Elijah Campbell. So without further ado, let's get to the called shots of the week from Ryan Porth.
Sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
Here's Ryan.
What's up, guys? All right, so I wish I could call this shot in person. And I only said shot. I'm not calling shots. I don't have a laundry list of, you know, 10, 12, 14 different shots and just hope that one sticks. No, I'm not doing that this week. I'm calling one shot. I'm calling the shot that the Tennessee Titans are going to go into Lucas Oil Stadium and beat the Colts. You know that I hate playing the Colts. I despise everything about the Indianapolis Colts. I absolutely dread watching 3.5 hours of Titans v. Colts every single time that they pop up on the schedule. But I'm calling the shot that the Titans are going to go to Indy and win this game. They are not going to let the Colts beat them twice in 3 weeks. We've gotten some good news on the injury front for the Tennessee Titans. And we are going to be asking the question next week of should Derrick Henry be in the NFL MVP conversation. We're going to be talking about that because he's going to have a big day. The Titans are going to go into Indy. They're going to win, and they are going to sit in the driver's seat for the AFC South crown heading in to that showdown with the Cleveland Browns, maybe on Sunday Night Football.
Wow, Ryan Porth calling a shot that the Titans go into Indy and win. He was such a doom and gloomer a couple weeks ago about this. What do you think's changed, Joe?
Well, I don't know. Should Titans fans feel good about that? Now,
his track record's not been great.
Well, he's had a good feel. Now, the last 2 weeks, a good feel of doom going to the Colts game. He had a good feel of positivity.
Right, but he kept it out of the call your shots.
Right, so I want to go. So let's review. We should do this every week. Let's review the called shots from last week. Okay, let's go with
Do we have enough time with Porth?
Real quick. Yeah, with Porth, okay. Real quick. Auburn wins by 3 touchdowns or more over Tennessee. Siano Rutgers upset Michigan. Harbaugh left in Piscataway. Hollywood Brown, 50-yard TV catch in the first half. Gostkowski misses 2 field goals in his cut Monday. Byard, first interception of the season. He has Fulmer will finish the season, so we can keep that.
That's not going to
happen. As a possibility. He did have Derrick Henry, 125 and 2 touchdowns. That's close. And he had Tannehill a game-winning drive, so he did get that. So
I guess technically.
Robbie, Packers beat the Colts by touchdown. Indiana pulls off the upset of Ohio State.
It's close on both accounts.
Now let's go to mine. Gostkowski will not miss a field goal or a PAT Sunday against a Raven. Ding, ding, ding. Northwestern shocks Wisconsin. Ding, ding, ding. Jadeveon Clowney will tackle Lamar Jackson behind the line of scrimmage. Okay, that didn't work.
How'd that one go?
Well, I take 2 out of 3.
It's not bad. But you rattled off Porth's record there. Not great.
Incredible.
And called your shots.
Hey, man, you know what? Sometimes quantity is better than quality.
Okay. All right.
He's got quantity. He's doing a lot of work on these. Okay. So,
Joe, are you ready for your called shots for this week?
So here's the thing. So first of all, one of my called shots was that. So I'll enhance it though.
With Clowney?
No, it was the Titans. No. Okay. Yeah, I'm not calling for Clowney to somehow come off IR. Clowney will watch parts of the game Sunday,
okay,
at least.
Okay, all right.
I will call that shot. No. Oh, jeez. This is an MVP and Emmy winning episode of Robbie and Rex.
Yes.
So one of my called shots is going to be Titans win, and I will say that. I'll also add to that. I'll say Titans beat the Colts, and the winning touchdown goes to Jonnu Smith.
Ooh.
Okay. So at least a little bit of specifics, but okay. The rest of my called shots, I'm going college hoops. Because Elijah and I have been
fiending
to talk
the
college.
The two hoops. Biggest college basketball fans in Tennessee, both here on the program today.
That's right. So I've got a couple. Now remember, I still have the called shot of Vanderbilt women's basketball getting to the NCAA tournament. I'm going to remind of that as we go.
Thank you.
I really like the potential of that team. But I'm going to go with a couple of shots. Vanderbilt opens tonight. I'll be there at Memorial Gym. Looking forward to seeing that team for the first time. I think it's a really intriguing team. I'm going to make a called shot that team will have a winning record this year, which is a shot. Elijah, you nod. That's a shot because, in the SEC, I think most people would pick that team last or close to it, and you don't have the number of non-league games that you would normally have. So that is a shot, but I'm gonna call that shot. Also, Belmont has a freshman and another new guard, both with 20 points yesterday. So this is an educated called shot. I'm going to say it right now. Also, they were what, number four on ESPN top plays?
Yes.
With the behind-the-back pass. Grayson Murphy, what, he had like 14 rebounds and 7 assists.
Pretty good.
Mazinski. Belmont. And Austin Peay, love Austin Peay. They're 2-0. Terry Taylor, like 25-16. But I'm going to call the shot that Belmont's going to win the OVC in men's basketball this year. So those are my called shots.
Those are your distant called shots. Okay.
Yeah. So like a couple distance ones, right. And then the one with the Titans. Jonnu. Jonnu's my shot.
I do want to pass along some breaking news very quickly before I get to my called shots. This comes from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Clarity on Colts defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. He's on the COVID-19 reserve list because of a positive test, not as a high-risk close contact. He is out for Sunday.
There you go.
So that is some big news for the Colts game against the Titans. My called shots of the weekend, look, I think it's going to be back and forth with the Titans and Colts. I'll save my predictions for Pigskin Pick'em. I think it's going to be very close. I'll keep it at that. But in this game, A.J. Brown, tough drop the last time he played the Colts. He's been struggling a little bit catching the ball, but he had a drop in the Ravens game as well. He's not going to struggle in this one. A.J. Brown catches a touchdown for 60 yards or more in this game. A.J. Brown, a 60-yard touchdown or more. So that's a shot. I'm not going to say what the final score is going to be. I'll leave that to Pigskin Pick'em. But A.J. Brown, a big day on Sunday. My other shot is this, and y'all are both going to laugh at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's still in the NFL. The New York Jets find their way into the win column this week. They take down Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. They get it done. The Dolphins are due for a clunker. Last week wasn't great. Tua's got a thumb injury he's dealing with right now. And if Fitzmagic gets in there, all bets are off. The Jets find a way to get it done. They win their first game of the year on Sunday against the Dolphins.
That's a nice called shot.
Yeah.
That's bolder than the A.J. Brown one.
Yeah, it is.
Very much so.
It's bold against anybody they play, really. Elijah, do you have any called shots you'd like to throw out there?
I'll throw out a couple. Okay. I would like to say the one that I called the last time I was on here, that Notre Dame would upset Clemson and then would go on to lose to North Carolina, creating a three-way tie, was close, but North Carolina flubbed it by losing to another ACC school, by losing to Virginia.
But the results could still be correct, though.
Exactly. So I want to stick with that. North Carolina is going to upset Notre Dame and cause complete chaos in the ACC, which is what I am here for. The other, I say the Titans are going to beat the Colts. I'm going to go ahead and stick with that theme here.
Okay.
And a fun one, it's college hoop season, baby, and it is upset season already. And Western Kentucky will beat West Virginia today. 15th-ranked West Virginia will lose to Charles Bassey and the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, who are riding a high after hanging 74 points on arguably a top five defense in college basketball. They were a top 10 defense last year. I think they got better this year defensively. Memphis can lock down, and Western Kentucky went in there and scored 74 points. Charles Bassey blocked 7 shots. That man is a monster. He'll be a first-round pick next year, and Western Kentucky will get themselves ranked by upsetting West Virginia, who had a hard time with South Dakota State on Wednesday.
I like it.
I love the college hoops, baby. Let it flow.
The two biggest college hoops fans in America, right here in the same building today, Elijah Campbell and Joe Rexer. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in. I've got two. First, the Titans win Sunday 27-10 against the Colts. And number two, the Ravens will beat the Steelers with RG3 at quarterback. This is coming from Josh. That's a heck of a called shot. RG3 beat the Steelers.
That is a shot.
That's what it's about,
I like,
though.
You're right.
I think some people have gotten a little too calm with the called shots. They're like, you know, Derrick Henry runs for 100 yards.
Too much land.
Well, that's great.
There.
Derrick Henry runs for 100 yards every week. Got to take a risk a little bit.
Yeah. Like Derrick Henry will throw a jump pass, touchdown. You know,
that's
a called
shot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in, Derrick Henry rushes for 125 yards and the Titans beat the Colts 34-17. So a score reversal.
Oh.
Colts got him 34-17 the first time. Titans flipping the script in this game, according to Caleb.
Flip that score around. Okay.
I like it.
That's a shot.
Derrick Henry, I think if the Titans score 34 points, Derrick Henry's probably going to have $175, $180. Especially with no Buckner in there now. That opens up a heck of an opportunity for him to run the ball.
It does. No, I mean, that's a big loss. And, you know, the Colts, one thing with this, you know, we've been trying to figure out on Buckner, you know, the situation. Obviously, the Colts have known all along, so they've had all week to try to figure it out. But, you know, you still don't have the guy. I mean, I think Tyquan Lewis will be in there. There's a big difference.
A gigantic difference. When we come back, we'll dive into this matchup a little bit more. Our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. We'll look ahead to the game against the Colts with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.